Just smiling because I'm looking at that crowd of kids back there just get bigger and bigger. What? Maybe we're going to have them line up in the foyer or something. I don't know. I don't know. Some of them might slip out the door or something. Got to be careful. Not with grandma's back here, she says. That's good. Amen to that. Praise the Lord. I was going to tell you a funny kid's story, but... No. I keep telling stories about my kids. That's just where I'm at in life, amen. But we love our missionaries, amen. The missions wall, call it the wall of mission fame or something, but it's back there. Please check that out. Just before I let them go, ushers, we're going to have a quick meeting after church in the back. Just let you guys have a heads up, all right? Amen. Cool. Usher said amen, right? Kids, are you ready? Yes, Daddy, she says. All right, come on.
Asked me to, but just as our church family, if you didn't know, Billy's wife Fina, she passed this last week. There'll be arrangements to be announced. Do we have announcements on arrangements or on Wednesday? Wednesday, perhaps. We'll see. They're still in development, so I don't know the arrangements to tell you right now. It will probably be at another family member's church. So if you've got a card or something you'd like to leave for Brother Billy or his family, you could put it in this basket, or I'll leave it right here. And then we'll do it again on Wednesday. If you'd like to leave something for the family, that would be very nice. And we'll let you know the arrangements as we know more. Amen. Now, one more thing. You've been hearing the news just like I have. And I see several people wearing masks today, and that's fine. And I support that. In fact, if you have a fever or you're coughing, I'm asking you, please stay home. Okay? We will pray for you. You can call me. I will come to your house. And I will pray for you. Amen. We do pray for the sick, and I have been to hospitals, and I've prayed for very sick people. I will come to pray for you. But if you are real sick, please stay home. Amen. And this is not in my notes, but I just think it is a shame that in past times, people who were sick, even with COVID, which is kind of like a dirty word. You know, nobody wants to say COVID anymore. But if you do get COVID, my niece got COVID, and she went to the doctor having trouble breathing, and the doctor said, go home and take Tylenol. To me, that is not a reasonable answer. There are things that we can do to strengthen our immunity. Amen. Amen. And I would advocate for people in our church to be as healthy as you can, which means eat right, sleep right, live right. Amen. And God is going to take care of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. My good friend, Brother Crowder, put together this little sheet of paper. It just tells a whole bunch of good stuff about how that you can increase the effectiveness of your immunity. I've given it out and emailed it out. I used to just keep a stack of them right over there. But be as healthy as you can. And if you're sick, stay home. Is that reasonable? Amen. Amen. Be as healthy as you can. And if you are not feeling well and you don't have money to go buy the simple little things at the drugstore, vitamin C, vitamin D, you know, just quercetin and NAC and just very readily available things you can get over the counter. If you don't have the money to buy that and you need it, you call me and I'll go get it and bring it to you. Okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't know where all that came from. But it's just something I need to say. Because I love you. I do. I want you to be healthy. I want you to be whole. I want God to bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. Now, the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 6. Could I ask you to stand, please? Just one verse of Scripture. Not a long time. Luke chapter 6, verse number 38. It says this. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down and shaken together and running over. Shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Praise the Lord. This verse of Scripture has a punch just like Acts 2:38. Man, it's a foundational Scripture of our faith. Amen. I want to pray and ask God to help us. Today's topic is the economy of God. Amen. The economy of God. Lord, I love you. I thank you. We are asking right now in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, that your will be accomplished. Lord, that your favor, Lord, would be upon us. Help us, Lord, even to serve you. Help me, Lord, to God, give your word and to, Lord, help people to know about you and what your word says, and help us, Lord, to receive it, I pray. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, what I have today is certainly not new. In fact, I've had pastors that I've had teaching under that have taught this very same topic years and years and years. This is to me, it seems like a so basic of a biblical principle that Normally, I teach this kind of stuff on a Wednesday night. In fact, I look back into my notes and I had taught on this very subject 4 years ago on a Wednesday night. You know, and the flesh says, oh, you don't want to go back and do that. You want to, but you know, then the Holy Ghost kind of got a hold of me by the collar and kind of shook me a little bit. Amen. The Holy Ghost is telling me more than half of the people in this service were not here 4 years ago on a Wednesday night. So, to most of the people here, this is brand new. Praise the Lord. You see, the ministry of this church is well known for its strong belief and its practice of giving. We give the missions march that we do each Sunday morning enables us to give to works of the Lord that are all around the world. Amen. It's a mission field that we participate in. We give to the local and the national things. We have helped other churches and we do things that help in the kingdom of God that are outside of the walls of this building. Praise the Lord. Yet, there is something slightly different about this verse. In much of our world, there is much talk, debate, even drama, negative thinking that it, the economy, somebody say the economy. Anybody heard about the economy? Yeah, I've heard about the economy. The world is worried about the economy. The Federal Reserve is worried about the economy. They think that it could and may have devastating effect on us. We live in a time of unprecedented political complexity. They don't really know what to do. They do these things with the interest rates. Oh, the coronavirus is putting people out of work, and we got to lower the interest rates so that people will spend money. So they send checks to everybody, and everybody spends money. And then guess what? People are spending so much money. We got to raise the interest rates so that people will stop spending money. They don't know what they're doing. I don't know. For sure, I don't know what they're doing. Does any of that sound familiar to you? But the economy is not a secret. Amen. In fact, the Word of God, the Bible, tells us about the economy of God. Amen. I want you to know this. The world might be in trouble. The world might be causing drama. There might be a whole bunch of political mess going on. And the economy is in question in the world. But our foundation in the church stands strong upon the Bible. Amen. It's sure. The foundation of the Word of God will not fail. Amen. I try to say that with as much gusto as I can because it is absolutely certain that God's word is true. Amen. Jesus spoke of the terrible times that are yet to come when men's hearts would fail them for fear. And yeah, when you read about the things in the Bible, there are some scary stuff. There's some scary things there. And particularly if you don't understand them. But we as the church are to be strengthened by the Word of God. You do not have to fear. You do not have to wonder. You can be assured that God's Word is true and that the church is going to be okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. We do end time Bible study at my house, 6 o'clock. I'm going to change it to every other week, because every other week I want to have a leadership meeting. So I'm going to have a leadership meeting, and I'm going to have end time meeting on Sundays at 6 o'clock. Amen. I'll probably have to announce that a whole bunch more times. And then 6 different people are going to ask me, when is that again? But that's okay. You ask, because I want you to be a part. I want you to join in. Praise the Lord. Don't let your heart fail because of uncertainty. You can be certain. Amen. God has appointed unto us a revival. Read the back of the book. We win. Praise the Lord. There's good stuff coming. Amen. God has good things in store for those that serve Him. Praise the Lord. Our world does not need a fearful and a paralyzed church. The world doesn't need us to be a part of the drama. Amen. We need to be a part of the answer. Amen. In fact, we have the answer. It's in the Word of God. Amen. This is the answer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The city, our city, every city, the city that you live in, needs the church to be calm, to be emotionally collected. A church that is pulling together in the will of God and not falling apart. Amen. This is a time for this apostolic Jesus name, one God church, to proclaim who Jesus is. Amen. We got to proclaim what the Bible says. This is the answer. There has always been a large gulf, a difference between how the world reacts and how the church reacts. We are instructed by the Word of God to live differently. In the verses prior to our text, some of that instruction was very clear. We are not to act like the world. I started with Luke 6:38, but let me go back just a few verses. Luke 6:35, it says, "But love ye your enemies." Well, that's different than the world. "And do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." It's the Word of God. It's different than what the world thinks, I know. But it is the Word of God. It's our instruction. It's what God is telling us, the church, to do. It is astonishingly powerful philosophy that goes against our carnal nature. In the natural man, you won't think any of those things. But in the spiritual man, it all makes sense. Amen. It will help us to live like the Word of God. Amen. It will hurt us to live against the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Paul said it this way, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you unto you a more excellent way. You see, God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen. What he's telling us, teaching us, showing us in the Word of God, they are against the carnal nature of man, but they are higher than our carnal reasoning. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ. Internal philosophy was summed up in this statement, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You worried about your family? Put God first. God will help you with your family. You worried about your employment? Put God first. God will help you get the job you want, that you need. Amen. You got problems? You put God first, and God will help you with your problem. Amen. You sick in your body? You put God first. God is a healer of our body. Amen. Doesn't matter what it is, in every area of life, in all things, God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen. God says, I have my own economy. It's a biblical economy. A structured financial system to meet every need. It's in the Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. You know this structured financial system that meets everybody's needs? It includes things that sound so familiar to us. So familiar, like, somebody say, hard work. It includes hard work. Let me show you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Whoo, that's pretty tough. But that's what the Word of God says. Verse 11, for we hear there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. The plan of God is that he would bless us in our work. Does that make sense to anybody? Amen. It does make sense to me. God wants to bless us in our work. Amen. But yet it includes other thoughts that seem strange unto us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Down to verse 34. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Everybody needs the basic necessities. Everybody needs substance to live. Is this verse not promoting laziness? No, it's not promoting laziness. The Bible is against idleness. Take no thought. That means don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. Don't be buried in worry like the world might be. Going back to verse 32. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God knows that we need things. He wants to provide us everything we need. Paul said, Philippians 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I tell you, my God is a provider. He is the great one. God wants, or God says, I want to supply your need. I want to be the center of your economy. We are living in a very nervous time, wondering what will happen in our national economy. Listen, God's economy will work even if the national economy fails. God's economy still works. But there is a very special way that his economy works. To get in it, you have to obey the word with diligent faith. How this economy functions is detailed in the text that we read at the beginning of this lesson. Luke 6, verse 38, it says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Anybody want good stuff to happen to you? Press down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. This is God's economic system. This is not an inspirational message to motivate you to give an offering. I'm not taking an offering. We're done with the offering today. I'm teaching a principle. I'm showing God's word. This will help you live for God. I'm teaching you how to insure yourself against this unstable world. God's economy is not dependent on the United States economy. It's not dependent on the world economy. You see, what are the functioning parts of this economy, of God's economy? Starts out, number one, the word give. You and I must participate in God's plan. You have to put in to be part of and get out. Amen. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, a familiar portion of scripture. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Some people don't even know that they robbed God. Perhaps it's true. Maybe you don't know that you are robbing God. It's possible. It's possible. Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Allow me to detour here for just a moment. Acts chapter 17, verse number 24 says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth all, he giveth to all life, breath, and all things. If God doesn't need this building, and I'll tell you, God doesn't need this building to have a church. God don't need the brick and the mortar. He don't need it. And God gave us life. He gave us breath. And God gave us everything. Everything I have is because God blessed me with it. God doesn't need stuff. He don't need things. So a question, a reasonable question. Why then did God, who does not need or use cash, feel robbed? Why did God feel robbed? We weren't giving it directly to him anyway. God doesn't need the money in my pocket. God doesn't need your cash. So why did he feel robbed? We weren't giving it to him to use. We were putting it into the storehouse. God doesn't need it himself, but he did say, put it in the storehouse. Here's the answer to that question. Why did God feel robbed? Because when we don't tithe, or when we don't practice giving our offerings, it fouls up God's economic plan. It slows down the kingdom of God. It hinders your blessing. Not just the church. It gums up his desire to change your life, to bless you in every aspect. Amen. God wants you to live an abundantly blessed life. But to have that blessed, abundant life, you gotta obey and get in God's plan. Back to Malachi, chapter 3, very next verse, verse number 9, reading on a little bit. They're asking about tithes and offerings. Being robbed of tithes and offerings. Verse 9, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring ye the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will, get this now, here's a promise from God. and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. I'll say it again. If you will take care of God's house, he will take care of your house. Amen. It's a principle in the Bible. But how does that work? How does he do it? Someone might say, but I have never had an infusion into my bank account by direct deposit. Well, God does not send checks. God does not do direct deposit, to the best of my knowledge. He may. God is God, right? God operates in the Spirit. But the secret, or it's a secret, it's really not a secret. It's in the Word of God. It's there, right there for us. But the hidden part that some people don't get is right there, right before our eyes. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, the opening text I read today, it says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I give, God blesses. Oh, I give, God blesses. Oh, God give, God blesses. I give, God blesses. You keep giving, God keeps blessing. Praise the Lord. God works through people. I don't know, I've said it before, but there's many that have been blessed on their job beyond what is reasonable. I started in the shipyard as a forklift driver, a material supply clerk. And it was better than the job I left to get that one. But you know what? I ended up at times having people working under me that were college professors and who had doctorates and who were master shipbuilders, who were, you know, highly regarded, and I was their boss. Now, how did that ever happen? I'll tell you what, because I gave, God blessed. I gave, God, I just kept on giving, and God kept blessing. Amen. Amen. It don't make sense in the carnal mind, but it makes perfect sense in God's economy. God will bless you when you give, when you're faithful. Amen. God said they robbed me in tithes and offerings. Some people are faithful in tithes, and thank God for that. The kingdom of God is based on, it relies upon the people that are faithful in tithes. Some people are faithful in tithes, but they may be anemic in offering. I don't want to think you're looking, I'm looking at you. No. I don't even check the books. God bless our secretary and our treasurer. They take care of that kind of stuff for us. Praise the Lord. I lost my place in my notes. Where'd I go? You are hurting yourself if you don't participate in God's economic plan. Amen. It's sad to see saints who have more faith in man's economy than in God's economy. Satan fights against us right here. You know, some may think, well, it's easy for you to say you're the pastor. You know, you could probably, you check the book, you go to the secretary or the treasurer after church today and say, who's the person that gave the most in this service today? Well, I put my tithes in. I put my offering in. I put my Christmas for Christ in. Amen. So I believe in God's economic plan. I'm a participant in God's economy. I'm teaching and preaching what I live, what I believe in, what God's word says. Amen. I'm a participator. When God chooses to bless a man or a woman, he orders that blessing up through people. A blessing on your job, a raise that was beyond your expectation, a gift that you didn't ask for, a promotion, new contracts. If you're a business person, you give to God and God will bless your business. Praise the Lord. Amen. A major point. When you are blessed, you have to assume that it's not all just for you. That God wants to bless your family. That God wants to bless the kingdom of God. When God blesses you, you bless others. Amen. You keep on blessing others when God blesses you. It's a cycle that needs to keep flowing. It's the economic principle of God. It's how God works. It is His plan. If He has blessed you, it is because He also wants you to be a blessing. For you to bless someone else. Using the church as the central treasury. Do you understand why? I hope so. Because that is how God's economy works. And you get a commission on it. Praise the Lord. When the house of God is blessed, you're blessed. When you bless the house of God, then God blesses you. It's a part of the economy of God. It's how things keep flowing. I'm totally convinced in this topic that I am teaching about today. I believe this and I practice this, and it is an assured principle in the Word of God. God has an economy that will work even in good times or in bad times. It works in recession. It works in depression. It works in war. It doesn't matter what the circumstances of our society are. God's plan works. If you have participated in the biblical economics, you can count on the provision of God in your life. Now is the time for Apostolic Lighthouse to be bold. Amen. To be a part of the kingdom of God. Amen. Now is the time to do God's will. Don't hesitate in your giving. If anything, just press on and do what God wants you to do. James said it very distinctly. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. First, we got to submit to God. Then resist the devil. And the devil is attacking. The devil's trying to come against my words right now. But I'm telling you, it's a principle in the Word of God. Time after time after time, every time, all the time, God's program works. It's worked for me, it's worked for millions of others, and it will work for you. Follow God's plan. Listen, my dear saints, we can goof around and miss the reason that God has blessed us. God has not blessed you to keep it all into yourself, to pad your bank account. That's not God's plan. He has blessed you to be a blessing. He is keeping you to help keep the kingdom of God going. Amen. Our government fears that Americans will stop spending money. You know, the interest rate thing. Oh, you're spending too much. Oh, you're spending too little. It goes up, it goes down. I'm not an economist, but I am a pastor. And I know the economic plan in the Word of God works. Amen. You know, the Federal Reserve has problems with money flow. And it's true, the money has to keep flowing for things to keep moving. And it's like that in the kingdom of God, too. You got to give to receive. Amen. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Amen. So it is in God's economy. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, praise the Lord. Musicians, come on up. This is my last portion of scripture. I'm getting ready to close right here. Come on up, musicians. We're going to end with a song. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. That's a principle that the farmers have figured out. That's true. That's a principle that the business community has figured out is true. You got to invest to get a return. You got to put seed in the ground to have a harvest. You got to invest in your business to have a growing business. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according, get this now, as he purposeth in his heart. Truthfully and honestly, I've not checked on anybody. I don't know what you're given. I don't know what you've given in the past, but I'm asking you this. In closing, would you stand with me? This verse of scripture says, every man as he purposeth in his heart. What is in your heart? So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. In rest, I'm not taking up an offering. Don't be afraid. But what's in your heart? Do you want to be a partaker in God's economic plan? In the economy of God? giving should not be sloppy or haphazard, or, you know, sometimes you give and sometimes you don't. And when you're away on vacation, you spend it at the motel instead of in the tithing plate. Or at the restaurant instead of in the offering envelope. My giving is key to my future. I'm not talking about yours, I'm talking about mine. My giving,
amen,
is tied to my future.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I want to be a participant in God's plan. I want to give unto the house of the Lord. It's my desire to be a part of the economy of God. Verse number 8, I'm closing with this. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God, I want you just, would you use me, God? Would you bless my family, God? Lord, would you bless my children? Lord, would you bless my grandchildren? And Lord, would you bless my church family? Lord, would you let the economy of God be set in the hearts of your people, Lord? It's a key thing. If you want to be blessed, be a part of the economy of God. I'm going to ask you right now, in the closing portion of the service, if you want to come to the altar, the altar is open, but you can do it right where you're at. But in the closing moments of this service, I'm just asking you, set in your heart, it's the beginning, it's the eighth day, it's the very beginning of this new year. Set in your heart, God, let me this year be yours. God, just let me be yours. God, let me do your will. God, let me be a part of your economy. Let me be a part of the plan of God. Let me, Lord, be blessed by you. Use me, Lord, in your hand. Would you ask him? Would you pray? Would you worship? We ask you right now. Do it right now.
Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given his own life for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given his own life for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given his own life for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given his own life for us. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given his own life for us.
grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks
because He's given
me all life,
all life.
And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Oh, and now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, I praise you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I'm so thankful, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm just remembering that book. There's a series of prayer books by A.W. Tozer, and there's a chapter in one of them that says prayer and thanksgiving. And he talks about how that there's a difference between gratefulness and thanks, and how that gratefulness is how you feel on the inside, but thanks is something that you give. It's something you do, right? It's not thanks until you say something. It's not thanks until you do something. Amen. It's not thanks until you give something, right? Praise the Lord. And I'm so thankful for what Jesus gave for me.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus gave it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed me white as snow. Amen. I'm thankful for the sacrifice of Calvary. And so everything that He gives me on top of that, it's just blessings running over. It's just more and more and more into my life that He's giving. Amen. So I have no problem giving thanks to Him. I have no problem lifting up my voice, praising Him, being here in the house of God. Amen. Giving an offering, giving my tithes. I love the Lord. Amen. I'm committed, devoted to Him. Amen. So thankful for what God has done. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Let's pray a prayer of dismissal. Amen. Pray protection upon our families and our travels and everywhere we go this week. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for the presence of your Spirit that's been here today, God. Thankful, Lord Jesus, for everything you've done, everything you've spoken, Lord Jesus. God, we love you. We thank you for it, Jesus. Protect our families, God. Protect our loved ones, Jesus. Lord, protect those that are sick. Lord, help them to be well, God. Ask you, Lord, to protect where we go this week. Amen. And all of the services, amen, this week, we ask you to protect us and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Thank you so much for coming. Amen. It's great to be part of this family. Amen. I just love our church family. Amen. Please greet one another. Amen. Love one another. In Jesus' name. Amen.